there comes one mightier. One after me who's mightier than I am, John the Baptist said.
Yes.
Whose shoe laces I'm not worthy to untie even. He's the one that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, we ought to claim the fire as we seek to be filled with His Holy Spirit, the burning, cleansing flame. Oh, that burns away all the dross in our life.
Yes.
Purifies our hearts and causes the image of Jesus to shine more clearly. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we need that fire tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, we need it every day. Lord, won't you come and burn, burn in us, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. The Lord just doesn't want to forgive our sins, but He wants to cleanse us of our sins.
Yes.
Get right down to the root of us.
Yes.
Make real changes there.
Yes.
Doesn't glorify God. We had a girl one time, many, many years ago. She's not a little girl anymore. But she was a young lady that worked in a... I don't know where she worked, actually, but she was saying that she would go to work, and she would get upset with people, and she would lose her temper and get into trouble with people. And she was a Christian. And she said, and I'd feel so bad about that. And then I'd go home and I'd ask the Lord to forgive me. And I'm so glad that the Lord forgives me when I fail. And she was sincere. She meant that. And I think it was a Thanksgiving service in Ridgewood many years ago. And she got up and testified like that. And we were all so blessed. We all know what it's like to fail and then repent and get to God. Then the next year she got up and she testified. You know, I get into trouble at work and I lose my temper. And, you know, I'm so glad that the Lord is so merciful and He doesn't give up on me. And I'm sitting there thinking, didn't I hear this before? A year ago? It didn't have the same blessing ring to it. Yes, God is merciful, and He forgives us. There's no end to His mercy. But God is not glorified by our continuing in our sin and by our continuing in the flesh. Jesus didn't die just to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Apostle Paul in Corinthians speaks about being cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We ought to walk in the fear of God, and we ought to believe God to cleanse us from all the filthiness of the flesh, and even deeper than that, of the spirit. In Galatians, it talks about the works of the flesh, things that people can see that are not right in our lives, like a bad temper or uncleanness in its different forms, or dishonesty, or unkindness and things like that. Those are the works of the flesh that are manifest, they're obvious. God wants to cleanse us, certainly, from those things. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. And as we profess to be Christians, there ought to be something about our life that testifies to the fact that we've been changed, that we belong to the Lord. But then there's the filthiness of the spirit. That has to do with our thoughts and our motives and the things that nobody sees but you and God. God wants to cleanse us there as well. And I've heard ministers say, most people don't get that far. They stop smoking and they stop drinking and, you know, they kind of live a respectable life before others, and people look at them and think they're such good Christians. He said, but that filthiness of the spirit, they don't let God get down and cleanse them of that. Some ladies were talking one time, and they were they were criticizing one of the sisters in the church. I don't know what it was that they didn't like about her or felt was wrong, that they needed to talk about it. And pastor came by, and he overheard them, and he said, "You know, I would rather that each one of you smoke cigarettes rather than to hear you talk about that woman like that." Now, he wasn't telling them to smoke cigarettes, nor am I telling you. But what he's saying is, you're criticizing her, and your criticism, that spirit, that unloving spirit, is worse than if you were sitting there smoking a cigarette, as far as he was concerned. Maybe they were criticizing her for smoking cigarettes. I don't know. That possibly could be the case. But there's something on the inside that needs to be cleansed as well as on the outside. And that requires waiting on God. That requires claiming the power of the blood. That requires getting filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire sometimes represents zeal, right? We say that person's on fire for God. And it means that they're so enthusiastic, they love the Lord, they're preaching to everyone they see, and really living for God, serving God. They're such an inspiration. Well, we need more people like that, that are really on fire for God. I believe we have them here. Fire also speaks of purifying, cleansing. They tell us that when the goldsmith would refine the gold, he would melt it down, and then he would turn up the heat, he'd turn up the fire, and it would boil out the dross, and the impurities would float to the top, and then he'd skim them off, and then after a while he'd turn the fire up even hotter, and then more dross would rise, and he kept doing that until he could see his face perfectly reflected on the surface of the gold. Then he knew the gold was pure, and then were no more impurities. And that was what he was after. And when God sends the fire into our life, he wants to purify our hearts so that he can see his image perfectly reflected in us, as we heard before. And so, in light of the way the Lord's been leading us tonight, I would like you to take your booklet, if you have one, and I'd like to just look at lesson 9, keeping clean. Keeping clean. We skip, as the Lord seems to direct the meetings. And here we're reading from John chapter 13, the Last Supper. It says, "Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto his Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." You know, in the Gospel of John, there's a phrase that comes up every once in a while about his time. His time is not yet. Jesus said that to Mary, "Woman, my time is not yet." And then we're told other places people wanted to do things, but his time was not yet. Well, now Jesus knew it was time. It was time to offer himself on the cross. And so he knew that he was going to return to his Father. That must have brought him great joy. And he says he loved his own to the full extent of his love. He loved them right to the end, to the full extent of his love, which would be expressed as he went all the way to Calvary. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. He wrapped the towel around himself. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Let's stop there a second. I remember reading a book by Fulton Sheen, Bishop Fulton Sheen, and he broke it down this way. He said, that's a beautiful picture of the gospel. Jesus rose from supper. He left heaven. He left the fellowship that he enjoyed with the Father and the Holy Spirit throughout eternity past. He rose from supper and he laid aside his garments. That means he emptied himself. And he girded himself, which means that he wrapped himself in our humanity. In Philippians, it talks about that, that Jesus emptied himself and became one of us. Although he was God, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. Now, other translations say he didn't think that equality with God was something to hold on to. He was willing to let that go for a while and to step down into our humanity, into our world. He wrapped himself in our humanity. He put on the limitations and the restrictions that we as human beings have. He didn't have any of those things as God. He was omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. But when he was born in Bethlehem, he was just a baby like you and I. And then it goes on to say that he poured water into a basin and washed the disciples' feet. Well, water represents the word of God, and it just speaks of the service. He poured out his life for us even before he got to the cross. Jesus lived a life of giving and pouring himself out for us. He wasn't looking to be served, but he was looking for opportunities to be a servant and to serve us. He poured water into a basin and he washed the disciples' feet. And of course, that also speaks of the cleansing that was provided for us when he shed his precious blood on Calvary. Then he took off his garments. He was laid in a tomb. He left the body behind. But then he took it up again, and he sat down again at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so he sat down at the table, and that was a picture of him returning to his fellowship with his Father once again. So I like that. I don't know if John intended that when he recorded these words, but I think we can see the gospel illustrated for us there. Then he comes to Peter. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Now, that's the job of the servant. When you went into a home, because the roads were dusty and they wore sandals, I brought sandals to camp. I like to wear sandals when I'm at camp. But when I looked at them, I noticed that one was mine and one was my son's. And I didn't know which one to wear, so I left them in the closet. Anyway. These things trigger thoughts that just ignore the ones that don't do anything for you. They should have, you would think of one of the disciples. There was no servant there to wash the disciples' feet, Jesus' feet. You think that one of them, you know, you had 12 of them there. You think that one out of the 12 would have volunteered to serve the others. If no one else washed Jesus' feet, right? But no one did. They sort of sat around and, you know, like when you're at the restaurant, you sit and you're waiting for the waiter. When's he going to show up? They were waiting for the servant to come and wash their feet. And then, much to their surprise, Jesus gets up. He gave them plenty of time. And I guess when he saw that nobody was going to volunteer, he volunteered. And that must have embarrassed them. And so he goes around washing their feet. And then it says he comes to Peter. And Peter says to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, what I do now you don't know, but you will know or understand after. And here we go. Peter knows better. Peter says to him, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. You're too holy. You're... I'm not worthy to have you wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. So then Simon Peter says, Lord, if that's the case, don't wash my feet only, but my hands and my head. Lord, if allowing you to wash me lets me be part of you and what you're doing, then don't just wash my feet. I want all in. Wash me from head to foot. And Jesus said to Simon, he that is washed needs only to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. I don't think I've ever been to a foot washing service. Have you? There must be someone here that was at a foot washing service. Yeah? Were you the washer or the washee?
Oh, everyone does both.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I don't think that Jesus was necessarily instituting a foot washing service. Although there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm sure that led by the Holy Spirit, it can be very meaningful. The only problem is that I'm told that when you know that your church is having a foot washing service, you make sure you take a shower before you come and make sure your feet are nice and clean so you won't be embarrassed. So it's not such a humbling thing to wash somebody's clean feet. But to wash their stinky, smelly feet, that must have been something else. But Jesus is talking about serving one another. Right? He often said that if you're going to be great in my kingdom, you need to be the servant of all.
Yes.
And don't look to be served, but you be the one to serve others. And you'll find joy in that, and God will take notice of that, and God will consider you great in his kingdom, and he'll use you for his glory. Praise God. We have opportunity to learn that lesson here at camp, don't we? The staff is serving. Not some behind the scenes, some out front. But we're all serving one another. And we're doing it in the name of Jesus and for him. And we're learning how to do it joyfully. And we're learning how to do with all our hearts, and try not to cut corners, but to really do a good job serve in a way that really would honor the Lord, as though you were doing it for Jesus himself. How would you wash that pot if you were doing it for Jesus himself? Would you say, that's good enough? Hope he doesn't get sick next time we cook? Or would you make sure that you really scrubbed it nice and clean, and with the dishes too, and setting the table, would you brush some of those crumbs under the tablecloth, or would you really clean up? Well, but I want to talk more about Jesus' attitude and conversation with Peter here. Peter said, Lord, don't wash, you shouldn't wash my feet. And then he offered for Jesus to wash his whole body. And Jesus said, he that is washed doesn't need his whole body washed all over again. But every once in a while, his feet get dirty, and he needs to come back for a cleansing. I have written here, I got this out of Merrill Tenney's commentary on the Gospel of John. Merrill Tenney was a good friend of Brother Gordon Gardner, and I think he even babysat for him when Brother Gordon was a baby. And he was a professor at Wheaton College, and one day Brother Gardner took me to Wheaton College with him, and I got a chance to meet Merrill Tenney. And then while Brother Gordon had a private visit with Merrill Tenney, they handed me over to some tour guide who was under the assumption that I wanted to go to Wheaton College, so she gave me a tour of the whole college. which I had no interest in, and I felt guilty letting her spend all that time. Anyway, that was the first and last time I ever got there. But here it says, he that is washed, or the word in Greek means bathed, doesn't need to wash, which means wash, his feet, but is every whit clean. The essential uncleanness of the whole man might be removed once and for all, but a constant cleansing was also necessary to remove the incidental defilement resulting from the casual contacts of life. In other words, he says that when you come to Jesus and you receive Jesus into your life, confessing your sins, and you plead the precious blood over your life, there's a cleansing that takes place, right? As you act upon the word of God, confess your sins to him, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we feel that. We feel the removal of our guilt somewhere along the way. We have that witness of the Spirit that I've been cleansed. Jesus has come to live in my heart. His Holy Spirit is within me. And I belong to him now. My sin no longer condemns me because Jesus bore its penalty on the cross for me. But he says, but there'll come times that as you're living in this sin-cursed world, rubbing shoulders with the unsaved and ungodly, that there'll be an occasional defilement, as it were, through these casual contacts of life. You'll see things on billboards and on YouTube, and things will pass by you that will grieve you and maybe put thoughts in your mind, and you need cleansing from that. And so every day we need a fresh cleansing. Not that we've lost our salvation, not that we need to get saved all over again, but we just need to learn how to keep clean and how to keep under the blood and keep the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in our hearts. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you? And then he told them, now learn to abide in me so you can keep clean. It's not enough to just ask Jesus to come into your life and say the sinner's prayer, and now you're good to go. But God wants to continue to cleanse us more deeply and day by day to teach us how to keep clean. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, the tense of the Greek is, he keeps cleansing us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. So there's this continual cleansing, this deeper cleansing, this more thorough cleansing that he is working in our lives. And we have to learn to believe God for that. And we have to reach out for that. And trust God to cleanse us through and through. In Ecclesiastes 9:8, one of our favorite verses, let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. Let your life always be clean. Keep under the blood of Jesus. Keep seeking to be more greatly filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Ghost. And let that Holy Spirit's anointing rest upon you and guide you and keep you in God's way. Praise God. So, we who love Jesus and have received him into our lives, we know that we're children of God. We know that we belong to him. But we have to learn now to keep clean and to become more deeply cleansed, or allow God to cleanse us more deeply. And so we recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ, I can avail myself of that cleansing blood every day. Maybe at the end of the day we say, Lord, where I've done anything that has displeased you, where I've been defiled in any way without even intending to be, Lord, I want to bring that under the blood right now. And Lord, just put the sins and the defilement of this day under the blood, and let there be fresh cleansing for me. And Lord, work a deeper purifying in my life, in my heart, in my mind, and so on. Praise God. The Lord wants to make us sensitive to when we grieve the Holy Spirit. That's part of it. You're not going to ask for cleansing if you don't realize you need it. And the closer we walk with Jesus, the more sensitive we become to the Holy Spirit and what grieves him. I remember living at camp many, many years ago, and I was just starting out. And at the end of the day, I felt a little defiled or unclean, and I didn't understand why. And, you know, how bad can you be at Pilgrim Camp, right? I didn't do anything bad that day, didn't have an argument with anybody. I probably washed the floor in the room there. And then the thought came to me, but you were thinking your own thoughts and thinking about your own opinions too much today. You were thinking too much about Kenny and not enough about Jesus. And that surprised me, that I was spending so much time thinking about myself and how I feel about this and my opinion about that, and it seemed to have a defiling effect on me. I don't know where I could find that exactly in Scripture, but that's what I felt. And I said, Lord, forgive me for grieving you. I should have been thinking more about you, Jesus, and forgetting more about myself. And so God wants us to become sensitive to these things. And then as soon as we feel that we have disappointed or grieved the Lord, don't wait. Wash those feet right away. Keep them clean. And you'll find that, that Jesus will walk with you and the light will shine more brightly in your life and God will make you more and more like Jesus. Praise God. You want to keep yourself clean and everything under the blood, up to date. And often during the day, just bring it to Jesus. And as soon as you're aware that you've done something that displeased him or dishonored him, we can take care of that right away. Praise God. The blood never loses its power. Hallelujah. Even though it was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago, everyone that comes to Jesus in repentance sincerely receives fresh cleansing and forgiveness and fresh anointing. And as many times as we come, God will grant that for us. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, teach me how to keep my garments always white and my head. Keep me under the anointing all the time, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.